I was talking with my sister-in-law the other night about a friend of hers who is also a friend of Bree's, and her friend has been struggling with seeing all the things happening in this world, all the horrible things that we witness. And the question came to her mind, does God even care about some of the things that have been going on? And it's a good question, and I answered it, but I'll give you the answer later if you want to hear it, because that's a different sermon all in of itself. But as I was explaining my answer, I mentioned that if you read the Gospels, and it doesn't matter which Gospel you read, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, I have, of course, stressed Mark because we've been going through it. But if you read the Gospels, one of the number one things that will stand out to you or to us is that Jesus is a compassionate God. He does care. He is so kind, he is so tender and nurturing to everybody, no matter who it is that comes before him. The way that he addresses them, the way that he speaks to them, the way that he reveals things to them, to the weak and to the needy. He does care greatly for the things in this world. God cares greatly. He's a God of compassion. But this is something that the world, sadly, doesn't understand. And yet, as we come to our next section in Mark 8, we are again reminded of his compassion, not just to his friends or to those people that he has healed, but also to this large crowd of around 4,000 people who have followed him around. Now, some people get this section confused with the earlier section in Mark 6 or in some of the other Gospels where Jesus fed the 5,000. Well, here he feeds the 4,000, so still quite a large number. It's easy if you look at both texts that these were separate events. They were different groups of people in different areas. In Mark 6, the crowd of people, the 5,000, was most likely predominantly Jewish people. And now we see that Jesus is in the region of the Decapolis, which means he's in Gentile territory. Therefore, the crowd was probably and most likely a whole pile of Gentiles, which means they weren't Jews. Incredible. This is a totally different account. But as per usual, as we read the Gospels, we see that a great crowd had followed Jesus. We see this all throughout the Gospels, except for, of course, when he goes to the cross, everyone disperses. And so this crowd had been following Jesus around. And they were slightly different compared to the ones in Mark 6, the people, the 5,000, because they had been with Jesus one day. These people were with Jesus for 3 days. They had followed him around for 3 days without even food to eat. And Jesus looks out on this crowd and he has compassion on them. We read, "I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. And some of them have come from far away," said Jesus. What I want to focus on in this text is the compassion of Jesus, is God's compassion to us. And secondly, how quickly it is that we can forget this compassion. And finally, we'll note that Jesus is the true bread of life. It's not so important the food that he feeds these people with, rather it's important who he is. Now, as I mentioned earlier, it's not hard to read the Gospels and see how compassionate that Jesus is. They are full of his kindness and his love, how much he cares for the people around him. And yet, sadly today, compassion or kindness is a rare attribute to find in many people. It's not hard to look around to see how harsh and how unkind this world is. If you've seen the news, you'll see the riots in the United States, and you see how much hatred there is in the hearts of these humans. If you turn on the TV, the news stations spend thousands upon thousands of dollars to be the first people to get the scoop, you know, the news on car accidents, on people being beaten up. And if you've seen some of these footages that are all over the internet, the things that people have gone through, that being beaten and being robbed or being in an accident, they're horrible to see. But what makes it even worse is the number one thing that the bystanders do is not call the authorities, but it's take out their phone to record it so that they can pass it around, so they can send it to the news station. People are lacking compassion. It is a hard thing to find. And even though we would like to admit that, yes, well, we are Christians, we are compassionate, I'm sure that each of us would admit that there have been many times in our lives that we have lacked that compassion. We have lacked that kindness that we should show to the people around us, whether we like them or not. Now, don't get me wrong, as Christians, we are expected to display compassion. Kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. And if you are a believer, if you are a Christian, the Spirit dwells in you, therefore you should display this. Not all the time, but you should display it. It's a fruit of the Spirit, not a fruit of us. It's a fruit of having the Spirit. But many times we fail. We fail in showing compassion to people. Perhaps we don't, or the world does not understand what compassion is. In this section here in Mark, the word used for compassion, according to the Greek, is an intense word. And it's so intense, this compassion that Jesus feels for these people comes so deep down inside him. He is so moved by what he sees. It's not just like, oh, I feel sorry for these people. No, no, no. He is moved with a great deal of compassion towards them. He sees them and what they're doing, how they are following him around. Perhaps he thinks the same as what he thought in Mark 6, where he saw the 5,000. He said, they look like sheep without a shepherd. He had compassion on them too. Now he looks out and he sees them. And he sees them as weak, as needy, as these hungry people, because they've followed him around for 3 days. And now they have no food. Now, for most of us, if we had people following us around for 3 days, we'd think they're crazy. But Jesus looked out on them, and he was so moved, he's so touched by their desire to be with him that they didn't even eat. That some of them have left their homes and had journeyed for 3 days. And he had compassion on them. He was moved to the core of his being. Because look what Jesus saw. They are mortals. We are mortals. They were weak. They were hungry. They were lost. Do you remember Psalm 103 that we had read to us? How does God see us in comparison to himself? Now remember, Jesus is God. Psalm 103. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. God shows compassion to those who fear him because of who we are. We are weak. We are needy. We are dust. Psalm 103. This crowd of 4,000 will perish, in other words, if they do not eat. They are weak. And Jesus thinks ahead that if they leave now and they don't eat, well, many will faint. 3 days without food, a long journey home. They will faint if they do not eat. And so he shows them compassion by feeding them. And so Jesus does as he normally does and asks his disciples a question. And how do the disciples respond? Quite often they question him back and they doubt. And so Jesus says to them, how many loaves do you have? They said 7. And so Jesus took the loaves. He blessed them. He gave thanks. And then they said, we have some fish. We have a few fish as well. Take them. So he took the fish and he did the same. He blessed them. He gave thanks for the food. And then he handed it out. And the bread kept coming and coming and coming, and the fish, the same, kept coming and kept coming and kept coming, until everybody in that huge crowd of 4,000 people were fed.
90 power.
And every single person had eaten. And it wasn't just a small amount of food. It wasn't just, you know, a bit of leftovers. But all ate, and all were satisfied. And the leftovers from the few fish and the 7 loaves was enough to fill this time 7 baskets full. And this miracle reveals the compassion of Jesus to the crowd of people who were not Jews, people who were not his own, people who Jewish people would not normally mingle with, were not even allowed to hang out with. And Jesus did it for them. Now I want to keep you to keep in your mind that image. Jesus is standing up, the crowd of 4,000 is seated down in front of him. Okay? Keep that image in your mind. Of him feeding them, the food going out. Imagine it. Imagine if you were there as he gives thanks and the food keeps flowing. Now I want to quickly point out how easy it is to forget the kindness and the compassion of Jesus. We all do it. Now notice this, we hear nothing about what the crowd thought about this miracle. We hear nothing. They sit back, they eat it up. Perhaps in their defense, they didn't realize. They weren't aware of what was happening. A large crowd, they would most likely not all know or all see or all hear what had happened, just take the food. But who did know? Who was aware of what was happening? The disciples, exactly right. They were aware. They were the ones who questioned Jesus. When Jesus said that he had compassion on this crowd, he wants to feed them, how did they respond? How can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place? That's what they said back to him. They questioned him. Oh, these disciples are so silly, aren't they? They see it all. They see all the things that Jesus has done, all the miracles he's performed, the healings, walking on water, calming the storm. He just fed 5,000 people with less, and they still question him.
Oh my God.
How silly.
Yeah.
But guess what?
What?
We do the same thing.
And
guess what? We know far more than what the disciples did, and we still forget the compassion and the love of God every single day. Every day. It's so easy for us to point the finger at the disciples, because we can read the things that they do. Imagine if you read the book, the things that I did. It wouldn't be a bestseller. But we can see what they did. We can see how they forgot. But every single person in this world, every single Christian who's ever walked this planet, has one way, shape, or form forgotten or doubted the compassion of God. Perhaps questioned, like the disciples. Psalm 103 begins with, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Why begin the psalm that way? Because that's exactly what we do. We take God's grace and God's compassion for granted. We just expect it to happen and we forget about it. Suddenly, it's no big deal. And these disciples, they've witnessed all these things and they still doubt. We can say, come on, you silly disciples. Well, how about come on, you modern day Christians? All of us. We have the Bible. The full Bible that we can read, and yet we still doubt. We have the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. We've been saved by the gospel, and yet we still doubt. We still question. We forget so easily how God has healed us so many times in our lives some sicknesses. Or perhaps our friends or our loved ones. We forget that he answers every single one of our prayers the exact way that we need it. Not necessarily the way we want it, but the way that we need it. We forget that he provides for us in every way. The list goes on and on. We simply forget that God is compassionate. He looks out upon us just as Jesus looked out upon the hungry crowd of followers. He sees our weakness. He sees our sorrows. He knows our burdens. He knows our pain. He also knows our joy. He knows our desires. He knows our plans. And every single day, no matter what we do, God is the one who guides us, who leads us through each day. No matter what happens, he is a compassionate God who is always there for us, always providing for us. And just as Jesus remained with his crowd until all were filled and all were satisfied, he does the same for us. The disciples forgot. They forgot about the 5,000 being fed. Did Jesus rebuke them? No. He showed them again. He reminded them of his compassion. The disciples would know instantly of what Jesus had done and his compassion and his kindness to this crowd when the food kept coming out of nowhere. The people down the front probably heard the discussion. They probably knew something was happening with this bread and these fish. What was Jesus going to do? Now keep that image in your mind. Jesus is standing there, this vast crowd, 4,000 people, okay? If you're down the front, you're aware of what's happening. But for most, they would have no idea of Jesus' compassion. Perhaps for an hour. Perhaps until all the food had been spread out. Imagine if you were down the back, you would have absolutely no idea what was happening. Would you then question Jesus? Just like Bree's friend, my sister-in-law's friend, how she was struggling and she was questioning, does God care about the things that are happening in this world? Would you be like one of these people in the 4,000? Does Jesus care that I haven't eaten for 3 days and I've followed him around for 3 days? Does he care? For some of us, perhaps those at the back of the crowd, they won't know of Jesus' compassion until the last minute. Until the food is brought back to them and they are fed and it gives them strength to journey home. Now for some of us, we will go through all sorts of difficult situations and perhaps question just like the disciples did. We will forget like the disciples of times that God has shown us compassion in so many ways, and we will forget how he has provided for us in our times of need. Because the tasks or the problems that are before us has consumed our attention and made doubts arise so that we forget the things that Jesus has done. And we will simply feel as if we are alone or feel as if he doesn't care. Now, for some of us, we might only ever know the compassion of God, perhaps on our deathbed. For some people, they might live their entire lives being totally blessed by God in every situation. And they always know the compassion of God. Some people will find out once they have lost their job, lost their money, lost their home, lost their spouse or a loved one. Well, as I said, they may find out as they're lying on their deathbed. And yet, the results for those who are down the front of the crowd, who eat first, who are satisfied first, is the exact same for those who are at the back, who eat later, who recognize the compassion of Jesus 10 minutes later, 15 minutes later, 20 minutes later, when the food finally gets to them. The result is exactly the same. They are satisfied. They are filled. They are encouraged. They are strengthened. Everyone who takes the bread that Jesus offered, whether first or last, was satisfied. And his compassion will never run out. His provision will never cease. Just like the food that continued to flow forth from him, his compassion and his love will fill more than 7 baskets full. You cannot contain the love of God. When we read about bread in the Bible, it's actually a very significant food. It's mentioned quite often. And you may recall way back in Exodus of a group of people which numbered far more than 4,000 leaving Egypt. They were the Israelites. And as they got out into the wilderness, some of them started to get a little bit hungry. And so they began to complain and began to grumble against God. When I was in Egypt, I used to eat all these foods. And they list off some of the foods that they would eat. I think one was cucumber. I'm thinking, why do you want a cucumber? But they liked it. What are we going to eat out here in the wilderness? God heard them. And so God provided. And what he did was this, is that every morning that the Israelites would come out into their camp, there before them would be bread. But it wasn't just ordinary bread. It was bread from heaven. Bread that would come down from heaven every night, fill the campsite so that every single person in Israel, every single person could take as much as they wanted, they could fill their belly as much as they want and be satisfied in the bread that God had given them. Do they have to store it up for the next day? No, they didn't. God said, don't worry about it, because the next day I'll do the same. And I will provide for your needs every single day. And every single day that the Israelites came outside, they had the bread from heaven, the manna, that they would take. And that they would eat, and they would be filled, and they'd be satisfied. Just like what Jesus does here in Mark 8. He provided this food for these people. He filled them so that they were satisfied. For the Israelites, you see, they would take this food and they would eat it. But you know what this does? It's not just about filling their bellies. They depend upon God. And they realize, you know what? My attention isn't so much on the bread anymore. But my attention is now on the one who gives it. Because every day he's provided for me. Every day he's cared for me. Every day he's filled my belly. Every day I'm satisfied in what he gives me. And what Jesus has done for those 4,000 is exactly what God did for the Israelites. And what those 4,000 people now see, what they now recognize, is that Jesus is the one who provides. Jesus is the one in whom satisfaction comes from. In John chapter 6, we read Jesus describes himself this way. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Jesus filled the bellies of these 4,000 people with bread, and it was good. And they were able to go home. But more importantly, what Jesus does, behind all the miracles and the things that he performs, there is an underlying truth. There's a reason for it. And it's to show everyone who he is. He's not just some sort of baker where he makes bread and gives it out to everyone for free. That's not the point. He himself is the bread of life. You can take and you can eat this bread and you'll be filled and you'll be satisfied. But then you're going to need it again the next day. And then you're going to need it again the day after that because you're going to get hungry again. But Jesus is saying, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. You take, you eat from me. And you will be satisfied. And you'll want more. But you'll still be satisfied. Because he is more important. He is the one who gives all things. He is the one who gives salvation. Salvation to all. And he's just revealed this to these Gentiles. Sure, they might have doubted. Sure, they might have questioned. Is he going to care for us? Is he going to do anything for us? Why are we all sitting down? What are we doing? But the moment they've tasted the bread that Jesus gave, they were satisfied. They knew of his goodness. They knew of his compassion. We know of his goodness. We know of his compassion every single day. Sometimes we don't see it straight away. Sometimes it takes a long time before we can recognize it. But it's always there. He's a good and a compassionate God. Let us bow. Let's pray now. Our gracious Father, we thank you for this account of how our Lord Jesus fed the 4,000. We are so thankful that he is a compassionate God, compassionate Savior. We are so thankful that you do not hold against us our sins, our struggles, the way we do things. But you love us so much. You care for us so much in every way. We pray that you'll help us to be compassionate just as our Lord Jesus is. Help us to see those who are in need, to not turn away, but to turn to them to help them. To see those who are struggling, help us to show the compassion to them that we want and that we know you show to each of us. Please help us, we pray, this morning as we leave, to think on this, to think on your compassion and to think on how we can be an example of that in the world around us. This will be a hard task, we know, but we know that your Spirit will help us do this. And so we pray these things and we come before you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.